Do you get excited when you start daydreaming about the times you're planning for future outings in the outdoors? Perhaps you've just been considering the idea of using the interest in God's creation that others have to connect them with their Maker. Well, why not join us, won't you, as we visit with pro and amateur sportsmen alike who help others come to know their Creator on the trail to adventure. Here's Jerry Calouette, the host of God's Great Outdoors.
Well, hello. We're here in Petersburg, Kentucky, and we're at the Creation Museum, Answers in Genesis, partners with God's Great Outdoors for many years. It's been a real blessing to be able to see the evolution, if I can use that term, from where they were at another part in Kentucky, moving to here where the Creation Museum is now. Exciting. It's much bigger and better than they had ever thought that they were going to be able to do. That was another story for another interview. But right now we're here with Ken Hamm, and we're going to talk about the whole idea of the sin, how sin came into the world, how it deals with the fact that as hunters and fishermen, we're able to go out and hunt and gather what it is God has provided for us. That wasn't originally the way it was supposed to be, but first off, let's welcome Ken Hamm back to God's Great Outdoors. Ken, appreciate you being here.
Hey, Jerry, it's great to be with you and to be able to talk about these sorts of topics, things that God has laid on my heart to be able to help people understand concerning the truth of God's Word.
Well, the importance of Answers in Genesis is taking people back to the book of Genesis, and most certainly there's that issue that individuals want to say, well, it really wasn't 6 days, it was actually God's days, and they're a whole lot different than what we would consider a day. We got to start right there, I would say, Ken, because that is confusing to people, and I know you can set the entire listening audience straight on that.
You know, it's very interesting, Jerry, that the Hebrew word for day is used 2,301 times in the Old Testament. And the word for day can have a number of different meanings, just like it can in English. For instance, we might say that back in your father's day, you learned to use a rifle. Sometimes you go out in the woods for 3 days, and that during the day you do hunting. And there's the word day having some different meanings. During the day, the daylight portion of a day, 3 days, 3 24-hour days. Back in my father's day means time, back in my father's time. Well, the Hebrew word for day, the word yom, actually has the same sort of range of meanings. So just like in English, how do you determine what a word means? Well, it's context that determines meaning. For instance, if I said to you, you came to the Creation Museum, you came back, and that you sat down with your back against the back of a chair, and maybe you've got a sore back from standing for a long time, well, there's the word back with a number of different meanings, but you understand because of context. Well, there are rules in regard to languages, and in the Hebrew language, there are rules when day means an ordinary day, when it means time, when it means a daylight portion of a day. But here's one of the rules. Whenever the word day is connected to the word evening, or it's connected to morning, or it's connected to a number, or it's connected to the word night, it always means an ordinary day. Now in Genesis chapter 1, for the first day in Genesis 1:5, it's got evening, morning, number, and the word night, all connected to the word day. And then for each of the other 5 days, it's got evening, morning, and number. You know, your first day, your second day, evening and morning, third day, evening and morning, fourth day. So what does that mean? Well, actually, the leading Hebrew dictionaries in the world, when you look them up with the meaning of the word day, they have an example of when day means a 24-hour day, and that's Genesis chapter 1. The first example is Genesis 1:5. And so the word day in Genesis 1 means an ordinary day. Now, the word day in other places can mean time, such as in Genesis 2, where it says, in the day that the Lord created, that means in the time that God created. But in Genesis chapter 1, it's 6 ordinary days. And in fact, that's the basis for our 7-day week. In Exodus 20, verse 11, the basis of the fourth commandment, God said he made everything in 6 days and rested for one, and that's why we have a 7-day week. If God made everything for millions of years and rested for millions of years, then we'd have an interesting week, wouldn't we? Which wouldn't make sense.
Well, certainly by getting straight what it has to do with day, then we can look at the rest of Genesis and say, if that is accurate, then all of Genesis is accurate. And that has to deal with the fact that originally, the way God had it set up, the animals were living in harmony with man. They were eating vegetables and plants, that sort of thing. And then something happened. Why don't we talk about that?
Yeah, actually, Jerry, originally you wouldn't allowed to be a hunter before sin. There wouldn't have been any such thing because originally we were all vegetarian. Now, you can read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, God told Adam and Eve to eat the fruits, and he told the animals they were to eat plants in Genesis chapter 1, verse 30. We're all originally vegetarian. And you say, well, wait a minute, you guys go out and you shoot animals and you might eat deer and have a wild game supper. That's okay, because we live in a different world. In Genesis 9, verse 3, after the flood, God changed our diet. There he said, now you can have everything, which, by the way, is a technical definition of a hot dog, everything. So that's why we can eat a hot dog, but not originally before sin. Now you say, why did God change our diet? Because sin changed everything. The instruction to Adam was, you're not to eat of the fruit of just one tree, just that one, or you will surely die. When Adam sinned, what happened was he represented us. He was the head of the human race. So what we really said in Adam was, we don't want God. We want life without God. If God gave us life without him, we wouldn't even exist. We forfeited our right to live. And so God brought in death. So our bodies run down and die. But our soul, if we're made in the image of God, we're going to live forever. We'd be separated from God forever because sinful creatures couldn't live with a holy God. But God had a wonderful plan. He stepped into history to die on a cross, be raised from the dead, to suffer the penalty for sin, be raised from the dead, conquer death, which means he has ultimate power, and offers a free gift of salvation. And in fact, the first time that message about salvation was preached was in the Garden of Eden when God killed an animal and clothed Adam and Eve, the first blood sacrifice as a covering for their sin. That was the first time that animals died. And this is a crucial issue in many ways, because death is an enemy, the Bible says. It's an intrusion because of sin, and we die because of our sin, which is why we have salvation in the fact that Jesus Christ died and paid the penalty for our sin, was raised from the dead, and offers that free gift of salvation. But people who believe in evolution or believe in millions of years, and there are even many Christians who believe in millions of years, the idea of millions of years comes from the belief the fossil record was laid down over millions of years. But the fossil record's a record of death and evidence of diseases and so on. How can you have that millions of years before sin?
That's an interesting question. We're going to get back to that. But first, we have to get with my wife, Cindy, and you mentioned game dinners. They smell so good. Folks, that's reminding me that Cindy is standing by to share today's recipe. Do send in your recipes and how you're preparing the wild fish, game, or plants that you might be harvesting. Let us know who it is you're spending time out there in the field with. And remember, you'll get a copy of Steve Chapman's book, Outdoor Insights, or autographed for that recipe. We'll be back after Cindy shares this.
When the executive editor of Buckmaster magazine, Russell Thornberry's hunting efforts are successful, his wife, Charlene Thornberry, goes to work to make delicious meals out of the venison the Lord has blessed her family with. Here's Charlene's special recipe for Skyline Medallions on Rice. The ingredients that you'll need are 1 pound of venison backstrap cut into half-inch medallions, 1 cup of flour, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon of black pepper, 1/2 cup chopped fresh onion, 1/4 cup of butter, 1 cup of fresh sliced mushrooms, 1 beef bouillon cube, 1 cup of water, 1/2 pint of whipping cream, and 1 tablespoon of prepared mustard. First, you'll want to saute your onions and mushrooms in butter. When the onions turn golden and start to brown, remove mixture from the skillet. Now add your flour, salt, and pepper, and the venison medallions, and fry slowly in remaining butter. Add more butter if necessary. Cook until meat is medium and remove meat and set aside. Next, dissolve your bouillon cube in 1 cup of hot water and pour into the skillet. Stir and simmer until liquid begins to thicken slightly. Add 1/2 pint of whipping cream to bouillon mixture and stir and simmer. Simmer until the mixture thickens to a medium gravy texture. Turn off the heat and add your onions and mushrooms. Now mix this together and mix it well and add 1 tablespoon of mustard and stir gently into the mixture. This will be poured over medallions after they are placed on a bed of steamed brown rice. God's Word says in Genesis 9:3, "Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything."
We're back. Jerry Calouette, God's Great Outdoors. Again, we're here at the Creation Museum in Petersburg, Kentucky. Well, Ken, the rest of the story is the fact that That's interesting because we get so many people contacting us that are Christians. That's why we have the bookmark, Should Man Hunt? What Does the Bible Say? And folks, if you've never gotten one, we can certainly send you a free copy. But Ken, the idea that today, the most biblically illiterate generation since our founding fathers, Christians not knowing all of this, wanting to have us answer these questions, we are allowed to eat meat. You mentioned that in the Genesis 9, 2, and 3. We needed to go on with this because we're looking at the fact that we're now living in sin. God had to clothe us. We realize that we have shame. Let's talk a little bit more about where this led when it comes to the history of man.
Well, you know, you're right. We do live in a fallen world because of sin. Sin changed everything. And after the flood, when God was talking to Noah in Genesis 9:3, he said, just as I gave you the plants, now I do give you everything. And so God did change our diet, and there's no doubt about that. Originally, we were vegetarian. Now we can eat meat. And in fact, I suspect because food was going to be hard to get because of the flood, probably we'd not have as much food, not easy to get the nutrients we need. So God allows us to eat meat, which I like, by the way, because I like a good steak or something like that. You know, it's interesting. When we get to heaven to be with the Lord, there's going to be no more death because there's no more sin. But right now, this world is a world of death because of sin. And it's a reminder that we need salvation. Actually, the fact that we can go out and hunt animals and be able to eat animal flesh is a reminder that we do live in a world where we have sinned against a holy God, and that we need the message of salvation, because death is only here because of our sin. And I think that's the important issue. In fact, God was the one that killed the first animals, if you think about it. He killed them back there in the Garden of Eden to clothe Adam and Eve. It really is a picture of salvation. When you come into the Cave of Sorrows at the Creation Museum, right at the end of the Cave of Sorrows, it's one of my favorite exhibits in the whole museum. And you see Adam and Eve, and then you see these skinned animals, and they're clothed in the skins of these animals. And it's a reminder that to people that, hey, because of our sin problem, God has a solution. But see, and the Israelites sacrificed animals over and over again, but an animal's blood can't take away our sin, because we're not an animal. We're humans. So we needed a human. We needed a man who brought sin and death into the world. We needed a man to take away that penalty for sin and to pay the penalty for sin. And you see, right there in the Garden of Eden, when God killed those animals, it was really a picture that one day someone would come to solve sin problem. But an animal skin can only cover our sin. We needed something to take away our sin, which is why Jesus died once and for all.
Amen. I hadn't thought about that. The skin being a covering, temporarily, of course, just as the sacrifices were a model of what was to come. We're going to hear more about this. We have to take one more break, and we'll be back.
Since July 6, 1996, God's Great Outdoors Radio and Ministry has been on the air to help listeners win others to the Creator God, Jesus Christ. The program is made possible because of the financial help of our listeners, and for this help we are truly blessed. Additional underwriting support is by Matthews Archery and the new V3 compound bow, plus Mission Archery with a revolutionary technology and design that provides a maximum crossbow experience. Also, Three Rivers Archery, supplying what one needs to make their own bows and arrows, and Hunter Safety System, saving lives is what we do. Also, Phil Havens Technology, LLC, a website designer and maintenance service provider.
Hi, it's Ken Ham here, inviting you to experience the thrills of our new life-size Noah's Ark at the Ark Encounter. We're in Williamstown, Kentucky, south of Cincinnati, and while you're in our area, make sure you also visit the Creation Museum. You and your family will discover more about the Book of Genesis and about our wonderful Creator and His love for us. To plan your trip to Northern Kentucky to see these world-class attractions, go to our website of answersingenesis.org. That's answersingenesis.org.
What if there was a recreational ministry that targeted all students, regardless of age or physical ability? Well, there is. Center Shot Ministries is an archery program that shares the love of Christ while teaching the fundamentals of target archery. This is a proven and successful archery instruction that can even be done inside your church. Center Shot engages the students for Christ and develops their skills in archery. Check out their website at centershotministries.org or call 920-634-5978.
We're back. Jerry Calluette, God's Great Outdoors, here in Petersburg, Kentucky at the Creation Museum with Ken Ham. Ken, we needed to have a permanent sacrifice, a lamb without blemish or spot. As you mentioned, animals wouldn't work. There may be some listeners that are really unaware of what God wound up doing, and it was the ultimate sacrifice. If you'd be so kind, maybe you can share with those listeners.
Well, you know, in the Creation Museum, right at the end of the walk through the museum, we have a theater, and we call it the Last Adam Theater. And the reason we do that is because in the Bible, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is called the Last Adam. Why is he called the Last Adam? Because he takes the place of the first Adam. You see, our ancestor was Adam. He was the first man. And because Adam sinned, that means we sinned, because we're all descendants of Adam. He was the head of the human race. And what he did, we did. Because of that sin, we're separated from God. And we'd be separated for eternity. But God had a wonderful plan. He stepped into history in the person of Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. When we talk about the babe in a manger, those nativity scenes at Christmas time, it's a reminder that God became a man. In fact, Jesus is called the God-man. But he was different to all of us in this. He is 100% man, 100% human, but 100% God. And he was perfect. He was without sin. And when you go back to even look at the Israelites, when they were told to sacrifice animals, they had to be without blemish. It was a picture of one day that Jesus would come. It was the fact that we needed someone without sin to be able to pay the penalty for our sin. And the only solution, it can't be any one of us because we're sinners, the solution was that God himself stepped into history to be a man, to be that one without sin, the one we call Jesus, who died on a cross, raised from the dead, the God-man, who suffered the penalty for our sin, which was death, and who conquered death. And now, for all those who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, as the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's from Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. And so we have a wonderful message for people. Even though it's a fallen world, we see all this death and suffering. And by the way, we need to remember something. The death and suffering we see in the world is not God's fault. It's our fault. It's our fault because we sinned against a holy God. But even though we did that, God is a God of love, because he said, I want to save you from what you did. And so he stepped into history to save us from what we did. Wow, what a wonderful message. What a wonderful God of love.
Praise God. Most certainly, Ken, would like to believe that there was one, if not many, that have listened to this today. You've spoken to their heart, and maybe it's all fallen into place. Kind of like an archaeologist or a paleontologist, they're finding all these pieces. They're able to put the puzzle together and really see what it is that's taken place. And most certainly, we hope that there are listeners that really see that what has happened is our God, the Creator, Father in heaven, loves us so much, sent his Son Jesus, and that he paid the penalty on the cross, shedding his blood, the death, burial, and resurrection. And because of that, we have the ability, if we accept that free gift, to be there with him for eternity. Ken, the pictures that you've painted, we appreciate so much. Certainly challenge the listeners to get out here to the Creation Museum in Kentucky. And just thank you again for being here and sharing with all the listeners on God's Great Outdoors what I'd like to think has had an impact in many lives. Appreciate it so much.
Hey, Jerry, it's great to be with you, and I trust people can come visit the Creation Museum one day, too.
Well, certainly would hope that you would be considering sometime in the future a trip to the Creation Museum. If you'd like to have more information about Answers in Genesis or the Creation Museum, you can go to our website at ggoutdoors.org, and there is a direct link from the homepage. And as you've been listening, friend, if your heart has been squeezed and you would like to have that gift that was given to us by the Creator God, the Father in heaven, His Son Jesus Christ. If you'd like to begin a first-time relationship with Jesus and have that peace that passes all understanding, that certainty that if you died this minute, you'd be able to stand in His presence and have Him welcome you in and not be cast into the fires of hell. It's easy to do. If you'd like to talk to someone right now, you can call 1-888-NEED-HIM. Again, that number is 1-888 and the words need him. Please don't wait. Make that call, 1-888-NEED-HIM. I promise you'll be so glad that you did.
Daryl Christensen has been a pro walleye fisherman for many years now, fishing on both the In Fisherman and Cabela's walleye trails. He's chalked up quite a few years of professional fishing experience. Some, as you'll see, was learned the hard way. Daryl's story will really shock you, but not as much as it did him. It happened on June, several years ago. He and an amateur fisherman were fishing a pro-am tournament on Minnesota's Mille Lac Lake. Fishing 6 miles offshore, he and his amateur fishing partner had finally found a honey hole, and the fish were coming aboard as quickly as they could set the hooks. Unfortunately, a thunderhead was making its way across the lake and heading right over them. Those were the days before Lorans or GPSs, so Daryl was not sure they could find the spot again if they pulled anchor and headed for safety. Daryl had stayed out in similar situations before, so he opted to test this one. As the dark clouds rumbled closer, Daryl joked, "I'm ready, if God wants me." "Well, I'm not," was the amateur's reply. A few minutes later, he made the statement to his fishing partner, "If the next strike passes, we're in the clear." As he finished the last word in the sentence, a bolt hit Daryl's 8.5-foot graphite rod. The charge went down the rod into the boat, knocking Daryl over. Daryl asked his amateur partner if he knew CPR. "No," was his reply. Daryl's statement to this was, "I guess I'm going to die." And then he passed out for a few minutes. When Daryl came to, he climbed into the seat and began fishing. Totally shocked by all this, the amateur tried to talk him into going in for medical treatment. Daryl refused and fished on, between being sick and passing out. After 3 hours went by, he started to return to his normal self. About the incident, Daryl says, "I've gotten away with it so many times, it was bound to happen." Now, he doesn't take chances like that anymore. Had Daryl been killed by that lightning bolt, because he had previously asked Jesus Christ to be his Lord and Savior, he would have gone straight to heaven. As unthinking as it might have been to stay out in the storm, it is a far greater mistake to not find peace with God. In fact, that is an eternal mistake. For a free booklet on the subject by Ron Lindner, contact us here at God's Great Outdoors by mail, phone, or email, and we'll send you a copy of The End of the Lie.
Did you enjoy that story? Do you know that you can get that story and 63 others in the book Hunting Blunders and the One That Got Away? Something that you can use yourself as a devotional, or you can get copies to give to those that God has placed on your heart that you know need to have a personal relationship with the Creator in the creation they love to enjoy. You can order copies through our web store at ggoutdoors.org, or you can call us toll-free at 1-877-TALK-GGO. This book can make a difference in someone's life. Why don't you contact us and get a copy today?
From time to time, we get contacts asking if it is okay to fish, hunt, or even eat meat. Well, we've taken scripture verses that deal with this subject and put them on a handy little bookmark to place in your Bible. To get your free copy of Should Man Hunt? What Does the Bible Say? Contact us right away. The bookmark can help share scripture sportsmen want to hear. This then opens the door for your telling of their need for the Creator Jesus Christ in their lives. Call 1-877-TALK-GGO.
Why don't you prayerfully consider joining us at one of the Fishers of Men retreats in Ontario, Canada. You park your cars, hop onto float planes, and fly into Rushing Wind Retreat Center. A very comfortable setting, gourmet meals, hot showers, guest speakers, an opportunity for you to get out onto the water, enjoying fishing with friends and relatives who you wind up bringing and need Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. These five-day events with everything included, and this is also the flight in and out, are priced a third of what you normally would pay for these kinds of fishing adventures. Contact Rushing Wind at area code 715-683-2000. 25-30 and consider who it is that you may wind up bringing, having the time of your life, building memories, and seeing them come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, as you're using God's creation to change lives for eternity.
Thanks to today's guest, and especially to each one of you who listened to this program. We pray that we've helped equip you toward using your time in God's creation to change lives for eternity. Remember, use your recreation in the out of doors to share Jesus with others. I'm John Skillman, reminding you that no matter what you do in the out of doors in the way of activities or interest, there's no better way to benefit from God's great outdoors.